Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hello and welcome to another Ashes Daily. I'm Tony Kerr and Adam Bayfield is on the line, possibly lurking somewhere. Where are you hiding out today, Adam?
I'm currently just walking through town, just trying not to look like I'm talking to myself. I'm just crossing the road now. So anyway, hello, Tony. Hello.
Live commentary. I mean, yeah, see if you could find a phone box or a dustbin or something to sit in.
Yeah. Like in a grouch.
Yeah, exactly. Just pop up with big opinions. Well, here we go again, I guess. Back into a new year, a new outlook, fresh positivity.
I'm really enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
Ashes Daily's back. Here we go again.
Ashes Daily's back, FFS.
FMH.
So here we are. It's almost like a new series. It's like a two-match series now that they've started.
Yeah, I think we should think of it like that. I'm sure Australia is thinking of it like that.
I think just, good warm-up. Now we're into the real business, the real meat and bones of the episode.
The real meat and tea veg, as you used to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the Ashes.
I don't know how much you saw last night or how much you've seen. I mean, there wasn't a huge amount, was there? there wasn't a huge amount of action, full stop, because there was a fair amount of rain around. But of the action, I suppose it's kind of like, let's see what happens from here. Australia closed the day 126 for three, having won the toss and chosen to bat. There was a bit of rain. That's when I went to bed, when the rain came after about four overs. I was like, nah, not going to sit through this. But yeah, Australia made a pretty steady start. There were 55 when the first wicket went down. David Warner getting himself out to Stuart Broad. It had to be, I guess. Marcus Harris looked half decent. He made 38 from 109 balls. But yeah, two relatively late wickets in the day from Anderson and Wood as kind of given England probably a bit of pep in their step. Smith and Khawaja at the crease for not many at the moment. What can you say about day one in Sydney?
Yeah, it's probably just about even, Steven, doesn't it? But then because of the rain, not that much has happened in a way. Not really sure what there is to say. It's, a kind of rain truncated day. It was fairly attritional, like Australia weren't really kind of, racing out of the blocks where they, Warner looked in relatively good nick. I mean, you say, Broad got him out, and I think you said there, Stuart Broad, it had to be, which is very much the narrative. It's like four tests into the series.
Yeah.
Broad gets Warner. It's like, and it's that man Broad again. But, I think it's a little bit too little too late at this point. But, there's not that much to say. I'm wondering, Tim, whether we ought to have done, instead of Ashes Daily, whether this ought to be Mount Maunganui Daily, because, that's probably, in terms of, where the kind of big story in cricket is at the moment, Bangladesh beating New Zealand feels rather more significant. India-South Africa feels rather more significant, and the Ashes, a dead rubber in the Ashes now.
Yeah, it's, maybe we pivot then, is it? It's probably slightly too late to start doing a Mount Maunganui daily at this point. But maybe we just drop the Ashes and move over to New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, so we've never really cared that much about the Ashes anyway. it's not really that big a deal, is it? I wouldn't describe it as the real quiz.
No, I wouldn't either. It was truly a remarkable result for Bangladesh.
Well, no, it's astonishing. It is absolutely astonishing in terms of shocks or upsets or surprising results in cricket. I don't want to say it's the biggest ever, because obviously that's tempting. Yeah, that's the hyperbole that you always get lured into. But it, I mean, it has to be up there. I don't know how high up, but you know, New Zealand's arguably the best team in the world at the moment, certainly the world test champion. At home, having lost, was that 16 or 17 test matches unbeaten? They never lose at home. I think it's the first Asian side to beat them in New Zealand in 10 years or 11 years. So anyway, I think we'll probably talk more about it on the next kind of full episode of the show. But definitely, when I woke up this morning, I mean, even BT were keen to talk about that rather than what was going on in Sydney, because it was, you know, it was a fairly unlively day today, wasn't it? I think it was probably a good toss for Australia to win. But I was thinking that psychologically, England are probably happier to be bowling. They're probably relieved to be bowling. Like, even though the pitch looks pretty flat, doesn't it? England's batsmen, you know, if England's batsmen had been asked to go out there after the scars of the last few weeks, you know, things could have got ugly quite quickly if they'd lost a couple of early wickets. But I think, you know, they'll probably be a bit happier that they're bowling. And the other thing I was just going to say is that, you know, just to kind of show England a little bit of kindness, we've obviously been very hard on them, and rightly so, on the podcast, and everybody has, and they've received a huge amount of criticism, and you know, the people sort of talking about, you know, wide-ranging reform that's needed to the English game.
When you say people, you mean Bayfield.
Yeah, Bayfield, Kerr, you know, and sort of lesser pundits as well, but you know, but I think just to be a little bit kind to them, I mean, they deserve all that criticism, but they must have had a very tough week here to be on the receiving end of all of that. And it's like, you're so bad at your job that we need to completely reorganize the way that we do things. You know, the whole system needs to change. And then they've obviously had, you know, a lot of kind of, there's been a lot going on in the camp, hasn't there, with, you know, obviously Silverwood testing COVID, and he was already in isolation. He's not there, and most, you know, a lot of the coaching staff aren't there, and net bowlers testing positive for COVID. It's been a very, very disruptive week. They've had to do their own throwdowns, like David Brent doing his own filing, isn't it? it's not really on. So
not good enough.
So yeah, so it can't have been easy. So, you know, this, as I say, I think at best it's even Stevens. You wouldn't say that England have had a great day here. It's just not been much of a day at all. But to turn up today and put in a kind of halfway decent performance, I think is a creditable effort after all of that.
Yeah, look, and they were pretty pumped, weren't they, with the wickets, obviously late on. There is face to save here still. I mean, yeah, undoubtedly sort of changes coming down the line, but... But yeah, a decent showing, or if they can salvage anything from these two test matches, then yeah, it's going to be a bonus. I mean, I just thought when I woke up and saw the score, I just thought, this is nice. This is just nice. This is what I would have liked the first test to start with, just Australia making, you know, decent runs, England picking up a couple of wickets, a nice easy way into the series. It would have been a much better way to get going for me.
Yeah, I'd definitely take dull over humiliating. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? Because you sort of, even if England win these next two tests, if England do win these next two tests, which isn't going to happen, but if they do, in some ways I'll be even more annoyed. But, you know, but it's just a weird one. It's like, I don't, you know, as a fan, I don't want England to lose 5-0. So obviously I want them to perform better, but it's just the fact that they... You know, if they now go in and put in two great performances and salvage something, like, that will be good on one level, but it would also kind of make the whole thing even more frustrating that they couldn't have done it earlier. But I don't think that is going to happen. I think, you know, well, we'll see. But England haven't batted yet. Let's see what happens in the remainder of the test.
Yeah, let's not speak too hastily. Okay, well, let's wrap it up there, because that's probably about as much as we can say of that first day. You can get out the bin now.
Yeah, thanks. I'll pop up. You can probably hear there's quite a bit of traffic around, actually. A big petrol tanker coming past me right now. So yeah, it's just great audio quality that the listeners are getting. Because we're doing these on Zoom. Well, yeah, because I'm literally at work, you know, I've got my lunch break here. But we've been doing them all on Zoom lately, haven't we? Because of COVID and very, you know, you were in isolation, I was in isolation. So, you know, I'm sure the listeners are loving the audio, but just bear with us, I guess.
Yeah, it's better than nothing, isn't it? That's what everyone's saying.
that's one of our iTunes reviews.
It's marginally better than nothing. Okay, cool. Well, enjoy your lunch break. We'll see you tomorrow, I guess.
Cheers, Dane. Talk to you then.
Cheers, mate.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.